Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first to my first podcast, known as.
And mine.
Yes. Oh yeah, yeah, and this is Matt. He's gonna be joining us today.
Hello.
So hi, Matt. And
I thought we were doing this as a thing.
Oh well, yeah.
Is this your podcast?
It's my podcast, but you see, you are an amazing guest that will be on here about 90% of the time.
Okay.
but anyway, so welcome to the Right Outside podcast. And to start off, I guess we'll just jump right into it. What do you think about the Diablo release? Are you ready for it?
I am excited for it. I mean, it looks about a million times better than the first Diablo. Obviously in the first Diablo, but even the second Diablo.
Well, I mean, how long are they working on it now? It's just like, it's been like since, I think, 2000 or something crazy.
To think of the number of people who've been, the number of man years on that game is incredible. Because you can't, man hours. It's not man hours anymore. It's man years you work on games now.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. Look at, other games, like Battlefield. Just, the amount of, things they have to put into it.
Oh, no, I totally agree. At this point, 50% of it is obviously, 50 to 75% of it is obviously, gameplay, and then the other bits of it are, graphics, and, how, I don't know, how integrated, all of the, it's a quality, there's also that quality factor, so that's most of what, in my opinion, a lot of Diablo 3, but a lot of the storyline looks amazing. I cannot wait.
I know you've played the demo, haven't you?
I played the demo, yeah. It was pretty cool.
I haven't, so I don't know.
The demo didn't really do much, in the sense of storyline. It kind of just shows, you do a little bit, but it's more of along the lines of just, gameplay and how you spend points, level up, do quests. It's more of just, a gameplay scenario than the actual game itself, but it's still extremely cool.
Okay.
So with Diablo, what were you gonna say?
Yeah, go ahead.
With Diablo, I was gonna ask, what is your favorite character? We got the barbarian, we have the witch doctor, we got the monk, we got the sorceress, and the huntress or something? I can't remember right now. But so what would be your favorite out of those?
For me, probably the witch doctor. I like the necromancer. He's pretty cool.
In Diablo 2?
Yeah, Diablo 2.
Right. The necromancer is pretty awesome. The witch doctor is supposed to be, there's been lots of, hate about him just because of the fact that he is a more of, the necromancer had a lot more, ongoing attacks, whereas the witch doctor's more of a passive player. So, you really don't do anything as the witch doctor. You let all your stuff do stuff for you, which can get boring. But apparently, I don't know when they are going to add PvP to Diablo 3, because it's actually not going to be out in the first release. Mm-hmm. But when they do release it, apparently that the Witch Doctor is supposed to be extremely good. He's supposed to be just not fair.
Yeah. I could imagine that in PvP, if you had a bunch of stuff doing all your stuff for you.
Yeah, you don't have to go in, and people have to run after you.
You sit there and then kill.
Yeah. Kill. Yes. So yeah, let's see, what else do we got going on here? So, what do you think about the whole, so you can get Diablo 3 for free if you get, the whole year of World of Warcraft?
I don't know about that. I know World of Warcraft seems like it's kind of on a decline. They're going free-to-play. I know their fan base is kind of shrinking. Well, not fan base, but, their player base is kind of shrinking.
Right.
I'm sure isn't there a new update coming out that'll kind of help out?
Yeah, they're coming out with a new expansion called Mists of Pandaria. You'll be able to be a panda. It's a Horde and Alliance character, so obviously you can, at least you don't have to be on the Horde or have to be on the Alliance. You can either, you kind of mix it up, which is kind of one of the things that upset me, because, obviously, if I could be a human paladin or something on a Horde, that'd be pretty awesome. But I guess it wouldn't really make much sense.
I haven't really played much World of Warcraft, so I can't really continue on with that conversation too much.
All right, well,
I know there was another Diablo 3. There was another Diablo 3 pack you can get with what was it, Guild Wars, I think, or something.
It was some pre-order.
Guild Wars 2. That's it.
Guild Wars 2. Oh, yeah, the Guild Wars 2 pack with the Diablo 3. Yeah. Have you seen any gameplay on Guild Wars 2? Because I've actually seen... Oh, So
I have not.
You haven't?
Let's check this out here. I'm kind of curious.
Okay, I was looking at some Guild Wars, stuff earlier. I think a lot of the Yogscast, a lot of the major gaming channels are doing some Guild Wars stuff, and I thought, like when I saw Guild Wars, it's first of all, it's very World of Warcrafty, like World of Warcrafty, but at the same time, it's very like it's more of an item based game than a non item, because like World of Warcraft is more of on
a
skills
item based game. Yeah.
In Guild Wars 2, like, what happens is you go into different quest areas and you get either down-leveled or up-leveled to that area.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But your items, obviously, they don't change at all. So it's kind of one of those, and your base stats don't change at all either. So you kind of have to, if you were going to do, Guild Wars was, it's all about, like, just huge, massive amounts of guilds, obviously, fighting each other for, like... Like there'll be like for like weeks, I think they go on. Like there's this huge PvP battle that'll just keep going on for like a week or so.
Oh wow, that's
I think it's between like three different guilds, and if you win or whatever, you move up in a rank and move down in rank. If you lose, all that good stuff. But it looks insanely fun. Like
I'm looking at some gameplay right here. It looks pretty interesting.
Yeah, if you like games where you can kind of like, I don't know, just get huge amounts of people together and go and try to kill another huge amount of people, like have giant wars and all that.
Be fantastic.
It's definitely
wreck everyone.
It's also very like, obviously there's like castles and strongholds, and the cool stuff about that is like there's like cannons on there you can launch down at people, and the doors, and there's like golems you can get to break down that. It's just, it's a very like well-rounded game in my opinion. There's just so much stuff, and there's like so many skills, because with every item it gives you skills. So like the item gives you skills, not your like, there's
like
no tree.
Diablo, the item bonuses, or just is it kind of like,
it's not like that. No, like in Diablo, you know how you have like your skill tree and you can buy like, you can spend points into stuff like that. That's not how it works. You level up an item to get more skill bonuses on it, and the item like gives you the skill. So like if you had a knife, then you get backstab, or if you had a gun, then you can, you know, do
so it's completely, it's not like a, you get more skill, like it's,
yeah,
you have like flames level 1 and then you have flames level 2 with this knife. It's like you have a completely different skill.
Yeah, like so let's say you had, well, I don't know, your main weapon was like a sword. Okay, with that sword, you'd be able to, you know, do like some spin move. But right when you switch that with like a hammer, you don't get that spin move anymore. Instead, you get this like bash or something.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
It's 100% like, but your item level obviously will stay the same unless you trade, or if it's like soulbound, obviously you can't trade it, so you'll have to sell it, or I think you can destroy it or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that's the whole Guild Wars 2 or 3, something.
It's Guild Wars 2.
It's Guild Wars 2. Okay, I've watched lots of gameplay, but I don't even know what.
Yeah, that's
what one
know,
is.
Don't know the name.
Yeah, it's a bit scary.
Now, so do you feel that do you think it would be better than WoW, or do you think it would be kind of like a?
I think it's going to be better if enough people play it, because obviously I think a lot, first of all, at the start a lot of people are going to play it. Just because, it's a new game.
It's a new game, and it seems like it's a pretty big release so far. But, of course, there are going to be people going to be at least initial interest, but continue.
Yeah, but if you don't have a lot of people playing the game, it won't be fun, because you just... That's the whole point of Guild Wars, obviously, is to have huge, massive armies fighting each other, and...
Would it be like huge, massive armies? Each person controls a single player in these massive armies.
Yes, yes.
Oh my god, that'd be pretty cool.
But the other thing is, it's kind of one of those games, in my opinion, that you're gonna have to kind of play with somebody else. Like in World of Warcraft, you could do like, you know, just play by yourself and do quests and all that. In this, it's one of those games that you kind of have to get, you know, a party going with maybe your friends or whatever, and you know, do a bunch of quests together. Or else I believe it will be kind of a little bit more boring. I guess you could still do it single player, but it'll also be a bit more difficult as well, because there's a lot of bosses that you have to fight. And I mean, that's just how it is with all games, but
That is true.
Yeah, it's not like a campaign where you can just, you know, solo, obviously, and do that. It's more of a game where you just have to have a party of people, in my opinion. Anyway, back to Diablo. So for the plot line, they've added some stuff. They've obviously, you know, they have to change
I am starting to wonder how far you can stretch the Diablo plot line. I mean, it is kind of like you go and kill the devil, and after you've done that one, you know.
Yeah, but the cool thing about it is playing off of the other plot lines, because they play off World of Destruction. Mm-hmm. There's, like, in World of Destruction, the world of Sanctuary, which is, like, the final area where, you know, you have to fight Baal and destroy the Mephisto, not Mephisto Soul Stone, but I think it is the Mephisto Soul Stone, actually. But they changed it a lot in the sense that they've, like, put the world stone like underneath, you know, they've like, I don't know how to, if you don't play the game, obviously you will not get too much of this, but they've just moved a lot of stuff around and they've obviously expanded on the graphics. And by doing that, I think that actually helps the game out. Cause like, I mean, in my opinion, Diablo 2 never really got old. I mean, I could play it over and over and over again. And
yeah, it's pretty, you know,
yeah.
It has a lot of replay value.
Exactly. And the other thing is, you know, you always can get, it gets more difficult each time, and, you know, there's more quests that, like, not more quests, but there's more, I don't know, people, bosses that you get each time you go up in difficulty. And, I don't know, in the storyline, obviously they haven't told much of the storyline so far in Diablo 3, but I believe that they will add, like, just a whole bunch of new stuff, like mechanics to the game. Because have you heard, like, you can like break so many like scenery objects, like tables, walls, all this stuff, and it will interact with the game itself, so, you know, it'll kill stuff. And just those small things, like, that'll change a lot.
You'd have like destructible environments.
Yeah.
3,
yeah,
go on route the RPG, you know.
Yeah,
you fit into the gameplay.
Exactly, and it also adds a little bit more of a sandboxy feel. Obviously, you can't build stuff, but, you know, you can at least, you know, break some cool things and discover things. And
that is a general trend that you're starting to see with games. They're all moving towards, you know, more sandboxiness.
Yeah,
like, not obviously not full sandbox, but, you know, like I just mentioned, Battlefield 3, you can blow up the guy's building. I mean, it's obviously limited now, but, you know, give it time, and we're probably gonna see a lot more of that.
Well, obviously, Minecraft was quite a famous, or not famous, but a very
successful
production. Yeah, I mean, not production, but game. Obviously, to the point that it showed, you know, it had some simple mechanics, like just simply, you know, break a block, place a block. And just by doing that, you know, everyone, I believe, like, on Earth loves to be able to, like, do their own thing. Like, do what they want to do. And in that game, there's a lot, and I mean a lot, of opportunity for that, because it's just so creative. You can build whatever you want. Like, you can make whatever you want, you know, all that good stuff.
Good or bad.
Exactly.
Another part of the allure there.
Yeah, you can just, it's a lot of stuff in Minecraft. What were you going to say?
No, go ahead. I really hadn't anything to say there.
Okay. But anyway, back to the Diablo 3. The plot, I'm just going to read this real quick off the Wikipedia page. It says that the game takes place in Sanctuary, which is where, in Diablo 2 Lord of Destruction, that's towards the end. And obviously, which is the dark fantasy world. Like, it's the whole, you know, area. And apparently this world was saved 20 years prior, so before, by a handful of unnamed heroes, a.k.a. Diablo 2, which is us, you know, necromancer.
So this is 20 years after. I was thinking for a...
Yeah, this is 20 years after. This game is 20 years after Diablo 2.
Good.
So, you know...
It'd be interesting, Diablo prequel, like, kind of leading up to everything.
That would be very interesting. Well, the original Diablo... Well, okay, yeah. The original Diablo was just so, like, I don't know, not the graphics were obviously a little bit below par, but the quest line
by today's standards.
Yeah, well, and also the quest line wasn't exactly, I don't know, it just didn't really come through for me. I mean, it was pretty simple, but at the same time, it just wasn't extremely good. But anyway, so there's obviously, you know, heroes that we were the heroes in Diablo 2, who survived the onslaught brought by the armies of the Burning Hills, which would be, you know, Diablo's armies, and they've gone mad, so we're now insane. They were now insane. And so it's now up to the new generation of heroes, so which would be, you know, the Witch Doctor, all of them, to face the forces of evil threatening the world of Sanctuary. So essentially, Diablo... Essentially
fighting who you were?
Like, I don't know, but obviously they're probably in, like, insane asylums, but now it's up to you to stop the, like, apparently the new hordes of stuff that Diablo is throwing at you. And
it would be interesting if you had to fight your old characters.
That'd be pretty cool, actually. I will say, like, if you had to fight, like, you know, in the Necromancer, that'd be awesome. That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be just an interesting little twist to it there.
Yeah, that would be a very... It'd be unexpected, first of all, but at the same time, it'd be really cool to kind of see how better or, like, how worse you are in your current character state. So, like, if you have to fight the Necromancer and you're the Witch Doctor, you know, you kind of want to see, well, what do I have that's better than the Necromancer, but what do I have that's not quite as good? So you can kind of compare and contrast the two characters.
That is true.
Anyway, so, obviously, we get to look at similar places like the Tristem, or Tristram, I'm sorry. Tristram, yes. Not the dubstep artist, yeah, like yeah. You'll be able to see Tristram, which was the old town that was burnt to the ground. You had to save Deckard Cain, by the way, which is the only NPC that we know of in Diablo 3. That's the only one we've seen in the beta.
Oh, the only NPC?
Yep, that was the only, well, that was the only NPC from, From the previous games.
Carryover?
From the previous, yeah, yeah.
I was going to say, well, if that's the only NPC that you've seen so far, that's maybe
yeah.
getting a little dry here, but go on.
So apparently he has a niece called Leia, Leia, who accompanies him and the heroes from time to time. You know, they help him out. And so the plot will revolve around two surviving lesser evils, which is Asmodan and Belial. I'm not quite sure who these people are. Like, I mean, I've played the quests, obviously, but they're just, I normally don't pay attention to names too much. But
you just kind of, you have to fight that one guy and...
Yeah. Yeah. But the new item, like, that's important, obviously, before it was the Mephisto Soulstone, but now it's the Black Soulstone. They've really gone out of their way to add some originality, haven't they?
Yeah, their soulstone naming is
it's superb, isn't it? I know.
It is.
But anyway, so obviously the new map is composed of two new continents, so it's more of a, instead of like going to random places that you don't really know, there will be a map you can kind of look at the whole thing from a bird's eye view, instead of just going from like, well, first you're in
here and now I'm teleporting.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can still teleport. They still have the waypoints. But actually no wait.
In any map, in majority of game maps, they always have some teleport function, don't they?
Yes. Now, I believe they have removed, I'm not totally sure, but I believe they removed the scroll, like the town scroll, and they've just made like a hearth button essentially where you can just teleport back. But then at the same time,
you have so many on you majority of the time anyway.
Yeah. And they've also added the ability to teleport to friends. Like, so you could just go to a waypoint thing and just teleport to a friend. Like, they don't have to have a portal up. Nothing has to... You just teleport to a friend.
That's pretty cool. It's going to be pretty good for multiplayer.
Yeah, and that's kind of the whole idea. Like, because this game... Oh, also, the new Diablo 3... there's going to be zero ability to, like, you know, hack and stuff. You won't be able to modify your game saves and all that because everything is being hosted on, like, a cloud server.
Okay.
So, like, everything will, all of your data will be saved. So you will actually have to have internet to play the game, which is a bit of a bummer. I kind of like being able to, you know, either be, I don't know, like, in a car or on a bus or something, you know, just random places and not have to worry about having internet to play. You just play single player?
I don't think they should have it only multiplayer. That's kind of a...
And that's the thing that I think some people are kind of upset about. Because at the moment, it is only multiplayer. Like, you have to... Not only multiplayer, but it's only online. Like, you can still play single player by yourself. But obviously, it's hosted on a cloud server, so you won't be able to be, you know... Obviously, you know, in your car, because you have to log in just like World of Warcraft, just like, you know, I guess like StarCraft, all those games, you know, you have to like log in to play. That's what's going on with Diablo 3. That's what they've done.
I don't know how much I like that feature. I mean, like you said, it'd be nice to play other way. It'd be probably better if you could just have a single player world that, you know, you can do whatever you want to it. You may be able to modify it, but that doesn't, that wouldn't carry over to multiplayer.
Yeah.
I think that just, that's just a better way to go overall, in my opinion. But,
yeah.
You know, I'm not Blizzard and...
Yeah.
Whatever. But...
So, obviously, this is going to be a M-mature game. So, I guess you will have to be... What is it older than... Mature is older than 13? What is mature older than 18? Or is it like... Let's see.
I don't think anyone pays attention to those things, though. Like, if you look at the Call of Duty, everybody's like 12 on Call of Duty. And...
That's true. So that is true.
Obviously, the rating isn't our biggest concern overall here,
right?
When it comes to video games.
All right. Well, that basically kind of sums up the whole Diablo 3 thing, doesn't it? All right, guys. Now it's time for a song break. We'll be right back. All right, everyone, we're back with the Ratside Podcast. So, this segment, we're just going to talk about like favorite games, right?
Yeah.
So, well, Matt, you wanna kick us off?
I think one we can both say majority of us say we all have an addiction to is Minecraft.
Oh, probably, yeah.
generic one to pull out here, but, you know, it's a good one. It's just, and it is such a weird concept. Like, you're a guy in the middle of a bunch of blocks, and then that's it. Well, I mean, that's not it, but that's the majority of it, so, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, again, I think I said it earlier, just the whole idea that you can do whatever you want, like, that is just key.
That is, I mean, and that is something which is, I think, a lot of people like about games. Like, in older games, you could, like Zelda being one of them, you could just, there was no guy who said, go here, and there's no tutorial. It's just, you figure it out, you press buttons and you move around until you figure it out, and then that's it. You're left to whatever you can do whatever you want, but you can, and so that, I think that does have a lot of appeal, because you're not being told what to do. You don't need to run over here and then shoot that guy, and there's a big arrow pointing at his head, and, you know, that always to me was kind of boring. Like,
well, yeah, and to add on to that, Zelda is one of my favorite games. No, like,
without a doubt,
yeah. I mean, but if you like Zelda, kudos, because Zelda is amazing. Anyway, continue.
But, like, yeah, you just have so much freedom. Now, Zelda is a little different because it's more of a puzzle game with everything's in place. But it also, in the original ones, there was no set way to do it. You could go to the last level in, like, the first half hour of the game. You wouldn't get anywhere, but you could do it. And you could go to the second to last level and just get completely destroyed. that is from experience.
Yeah.
But
anyway, so back to Minecraft.
Yes.
So first of all, when I first played Minecraft, I think as it has evolved to the newer versions, obviously after the release and all that, I think that the alphas, like, so the one beta, one, I think it was alpha 1.2 or something along those lines, I think that they were, like, very key, because the game was extremely difficult during that time. I mean, like, now you have, in my opinion, the game has gotten a lot more building-oriented than, you know, adventure-oriented, in the sense that, you know, it's easy to find all of these minerals, you know, finding ores, dungeons, all of this stuff that has, you know, it's very fruitful with
material,
stuff that you need to use. Like, remember how coal was, like, impossible to find, but now, you know, you find a tree, chop it down, charcoal, there you go.
But, I mean, I think that it needs it does have a certain, like you said, it is kind of interesting, but I mean, that really only affects early game. I like how they're trying to add more, you know, end game stuffs.
That's true.
End. But, like, I enjoy how they're trying to, you know, fill it out now, and you can kind of see them trying to do that, add more stuff, add more interesting things, and I definitely hope they do something with the whole testificate villages.
Yeah, I think the point of adding them was to somehow create some sort of, like, merchants and all that good stuff, like, people you can...
Yeah, that is going to be...
That is going to be very cool. That is going to turn Minecraft into a extreme, a lot more RPG. Like, right now, obviously, it's you don't have to RPG, obviously. You know, you don't have to do quests or whatever. You don't have to do the achievements. You don't have to go to the end.
You don't have to do the achievements.
Yeah.
And that's one thing about Minecraft that I don't think they're ever going to change. They're never going to force you to go talk to the villagers. They're
exactly.
never going to force you to go to the end. You can do that if you want. It's your choice. If you want to sit in a dirt hut and then make things out of cobblestone, you can. If you want to go and defeat the end and harvest all of the endstone from the end and then build a giant deity to yourself. But
yeah, again, and that's what makes it such a good game. You have all this freedom to do what you want. It's, again, that sandbox-esque kind of thing you got going on. It's just, it's not, it's, and I think a lot of linear games, they're good for the first time you play them. And then there's no replay value. Whereas Minecraft, you could play forever because it always changes. I mean,
even still, there are some linear games which aren't even that good. Because I mean, like some FPSs, when you're doing them first person, it's just all like go here, go to this room and shoot this guy. And you're just, it's all about shooting that one guy. And I understand it's a shooter, but you know, wouldn't you want something more? Wouldn't you? That was always my thought.
Yeah. Which is why Skyrim, I mean, it's single player, but again, they added all of this questing. It's free roam. You can, I mean, it's still like, it's still an FPS game, not a shooter, but it's, you know, it's still, you know, you kill a person here, but you don't have to do that. You could hunt. You could go and join a guild and, you know, play with, do stuff for them and collect items. It's obviously still a battle-oriented game, but it's that free roam aspect. And I think that's what a lot of people look for in Minecraft and... Yeah,
and I think that's starting to take over a lot of other games because there's when you start to see Skyrim. I mean, there's a lot of these games are getting really popular. I mean, there's of course there's always the FPS franchises,
right?
Which, on a little tangent here, FPSs seem to be very similar to each other just overall. Like if you have Call of Duty, you've played you have that experience. It's like if you get Battlefield, it's just a little bit different.
It's like it's just a little bit of a different Call of Duty. You know, a few different guns, you know.
Yeah, you have different guns. Maybe it's you can blow up a building instead of having to fight hordes of zombies. But
yeah,
you know, it's all just and I'm not saying I love Battlefield. I'm a big fan of Battlefield. I'm just saying I'm not gonna go and buy the Call of Duty next Call of Duty because it's out. I have Battlefield. I can run around and shoot people, and it's really that's all you need,
right?
And I don't know, just my thought on the matter.
And no, and also, games that come out like frequently, like there's lots and lots of new ones. Like you know, I think Call of Duty comes out every 1 to 2 years. Like there's a new one every 1 or 2 years, which isn't insane. That's not a really long time. Like we were talking about earlier, the whole Diablo 3, they spent like 10 years on a game. That's you know, it's going to be good. Like there is no maybe. Like we all know.
There is Duke Nukem. You know that was kind of a. Flunk on that one. They spent like 12 years on that, and this game isn't really that great.
But that's because Duke Nukem wasn't really. I don't know. I don't think Duke Nukem was as famous as some of the other franchises and whatnot. Like
that is true. Like, there is a lot to be said about how much money you pour into something and how good it turns out to be.
Like I mean, if you have known facts that you like that, like this product is amazing. And they're coming out with a new product that's, you know, a little bit better than that. And then there's another company that's, I guess, 50-50. But then they're coming out with a new product. You're probably going to go with the amazing one just because of, you know, how it's been, you know, talked up and whatnot. And then that's how it works. I mean, like, that's how you get stuff. So I just don't think Duke Nukem was popular enough to rise up to, you know, get... a lot of fame, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and Duke Nukem seems, I haven't seen much gameplay, but it just seems like, almost like Rambo.
Yeah.
As a game, Rambo the game.
Yeah.
That, I might play that if that ever existed.
Rambo the game. Quotation here. Rambo the game. That's the name of the disc. That's the name of the PC.
Blizzard
PC title, name Rambo.
Work on that.
Rambo the game, and so it's like it's just amazing. I'm pretty sure they've made Rambo games actually for NES and stuff like that. Older consoles, probably nothing new though. Obviously,
let's look this one up here.
Rambo the game.
it doesn't look like there's any real, but FPS Rambo game that would be.
That'd be pretty. That'd be okay. I mean, I've watched all the Rambo movies multiple times. Of course, they got you know Sylvester Stallone, you know all that good stuff. He maybe says like 5 lines throughout the whole movie. I think that that Rambo game would be pretty cool. What's another game? Oh, have you been? You obviously haven't really played a whole lot of. Of this game, and I don't think so, but Realm of the Mad God, I think I just recently told you about it.
Oh, yeah, I told you. I wanted to get started on that today. It looks pretty fun.
it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of like an indie game.
Yeah, it had a kind of indie feel to it. Like, it wasn't like super high quality, but it was like unique.
I mean, like, you can get hours of fun out of it, but like, if you don't know what it is, it's like an 8-bit based game.
It's not 8-bit. It's like,
it's cuboid. It's like cuboid. It's like, yeah, pixel art, but, you know, like pixel graphics.
Think of it kind of like if you've ever played like Super Paper Mario.
Right.
The kind of, you're in 3D, but everything's kind of 2D.
Right.
Feel.
Yeah.
But it's more top down than, you know, Mario. Super Paper Mario. Which also is one of my favorite games ever.
Super Paper Mario is pretty good. I personally probably like the, new what am I saying? The Super Mario Bros., like the Super Mario Bros., like 3 and stuff like that for NES. I would just play forever with my cousins and my sister and all that stuff. Like it's just endless play. And even if you beat the level, again, you can replay it, but it's not just because it's really difficult. I mean, and it's always about finding puzzles, because there's also a puzzle aspect. Now, once you find them out, you know, it loses some replay value there, but it was a bit of a puzzle game, you know, finding whistles, I don't know, all that good stuff, finding out where mushrooms were, and, you know.
Yeah. I played, like, more Mario when I was really young, and I had no idea what I was doing. I was just kind of, like, I jump, and I get past the first level eventually,
right,
and then I go to the second level, and I'd stay there for, like, another hour, and I'll be like, you know what? I'm going to do something else now.
Yeah, see, my dad was, like, the biggest NES player, like, ever. So I didn't quite, you know, fully concept the whole, you know, what the storyline was and all that, but I did kind of get, like, the gameplay aspects, and I also pretty much knew half of the, you know, hidden puzzle things, like whistles and all that, mm-hmm, by the time I was, like, 7, so...
That I guess that does have a little bit of a advantage to it,
right? But then there's still like how well you can play the game. You know, if you can jump on all of the Goombas and all that crazy stuff.
Yeah, that is true.
So yeah, Realm of the Mad God, check it out. It's free to play. You can either play it in browser or on Steam. You can download it for Steam. I preferably think the Steam is better because you get it in a window and it can be as big or as small as you want it to be. Whereas the in-browser actually has, like, a set screen size.
Yeah, in-browser games are never quite as good. They can be. I'm sure there are good games. It's just you have to use the you have to use a browser, so that's always
right,
a little annoying because you can't, like, use the up and down buttons
right
quite as well. But
let's see. So I think we're gonna actually wrap it up for this section.
Yeah.
And I guess. All right, guys. Now it's time for a song break. Well, what do you like doing, you know, just outside?
Well, outside of video gaming.
Yeah. Yeah, outside of video gaming.
Because, you know, we're not supposed to go outside.
I mean, come on,
this place is scary.
Yeah, like we're like, I think that we were born with like some part vampire blood or whatever.
Yeah, all video gamers are part vampire.
Yeah, yeah, we'll incinerate. We'll die. We won't be able to survive out there.
I think that's it. I think that's our
that's the answer.
The official scientific proof for why gamers don't like to go outside.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's totally truthful. I mean, like, there's so much proof to back this up.
I mean, they're pale.
Yeah,
they don't look at mirrors. I mean, come on. This makes sense.
And garlic? I mean, come on. No video gamer likes garlic. Well, actually, I kind of do like garlic.
I love garlic. So
maybe in some shrimp scampi or something. Like, oh, yeah. I could go for some shrimp scampi. Anyway, where were we? What do you do outside of video games?
I'm like, I just like design things. Like, modeling.
Modeling?
Big thing I like doing is Rubik's Cubes.
Yeah, so. Matt is amazing at Rubik's Cubes, making Rubik's Cubes, playing with Rubik's Cubes, making pictures of Rubik's Cubes.
Yes.
His Skype picture's a Nyan.
My Skype picture is a Nyan Cat Rubik's Cube.
Yeah, a cube, a cube Nyan. Nyan Cube. There we go. Nyan Cube.
I guess you could say that. I was just like, you know what? I want to make a Nyan Cat.
Yeah, he basically changed the waffle part, or not waffle, I'm sorry.
Pop-Tart
part into a, like, a 3x3 Rubik's Cube, which is actually very, very original. I have not seen anything like that. I was just like, whoa, that's such a good idea. Mm, yeah.
And a lot of people are surprised to hear that I made the picture, because they're like, wow, you made that? And it's really something I made in, like, 20 minutes, but...
Yeah.
Still, pretty cool.
Anyway, so modeling, like, what... We have a class at school, an engineering class, and we just do lots of adventure. But he does the project, and then he just works in this Rubik's Cube thing. So, like, what are you doing? Like, you're building...
Well, right now, I'm working on a remodeling, basically, one of the Rubik's Cubes I have. And it's a bit of a bit annoying, because inventor can be... It's just a little bit finicky sometimes, but it's good overall. Like, I'm trying to basically take dimensions with, like, every single thing and then just put that in exactly. And it takes a while, but I don't know why I enjoy it so much. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm also looking to get into, like, making, like, some designs for just like, cool little visual designs, like, I have the software which you can use to like make new TF2 items. So unless maybe try
like a developer's pack or something like that.
No, it's actually not a developer's pack. It's a program called Autodesk 3ds Max, which I have a student edition of it. But it's pretty cool because what you can do with it is like you can make a model of you can just make like 3D models for stuff that. And it's not like, and because Inventor's obviously it's more AutoCAD, so it's more like things are solid and things are more, supposed to be more realistic. But it's just more like you can make something look really, really nice and have it rendered. And so I'm looking forward to that.
Well, if any of our listeners do stuff on Inventor, if you know what that program is, or are kind of like into engineering or building. Real life items, you know, maybe send a link or something, or send us a picture. Take a look at it.
If you happen to have anything, I would love to see it.
Yeah,
I am a bit of a noob myself, but you know, about learning new things.
Yeah, I mean, you learn something new every day. At least I hope that's how it works.
So, Rover, what do you know about what do you do outside?
What do I do outside? Well, I do make my own music. I produce and write, you know, my own music on. A program called FL Studio. I've been trying to use Ableton, but it's just not quite my thing.
It's not your cup of tea there.
First of all, it's a high learning curve, so it's hard to kind of figure out what everything does. Like, on FL Studio, I can, like, if I need to make a good synth, I know what and where and what, you know, and how to do and how to make this synth. Like, I know mm-hmm. where I need to go. And whereas Ableton, you know, it's, you know, you have to find out, well, wait a minute. Well, first of all, what is the Ableton programming? Like, what is the piece of that program that does that? And, you know, again, there's Ableton though has a lot more stuff you can do. I will say that. But like I just said, it's a high learning curve. So it's a bit more difficult
It is a bit of a, you know, preference. Sometimes.
And yeah, I mean, like, sometimes people like to use it, just like use Ableton or FL Studio, vice versa, just because, I mean, they like maybe the way it looks, or, you know, what the program is, or, you know, it's just simple stuff like that.
I do wonder, like, if how long dubstep is going to stay in the whole global eye, I guess you could say, is the best way to.
I have a feeling it's kind of just starting, to be honest. I mean,
it is just starting. It is just starting to pick up steam. I mean, when you start to get, like, a lot of people who, like, maybe don't really know what, like, not that don't really know, but, like, when you start out with a new genre of music, like mm-hmm. dubstep, there's always, like, the indie community or the hipster community who are, like, really, they like the music, well, because they either A, like it, or because no one else has heard of it.
Right.
Whatever. But they're into it and they know what they're talking about. But a lot of times, like, when something's popular, the people who aren't, they just kind of, I guess the best way to say it, bandwagoning. And don't get me wrong, it's great for the artist to get that extra dollar from those people. But, you know, there's a lot less knowledge about the music, which is sometimes a little unfortunate. But, you know, I'm a bit of a music. I know a lot about music. So
yeah, I don't know. I have to say that as well. I personally, like, I know, like, a lot of genres. I've listened to, like, lots of different songs. There have been periods of my life where I like this genre over another genre, you know, and. Mm-hmm. One that I have found very fascinating would have to be classic rock. I mean, classic rock has been around for easily, like,
classic rock does describe a lot of stuff, though. So
yeah, like, know. But in style, it's been in style per se for like 20 to 30 years. Like, just recently, from like the '80s, you know, a bit of the '70s, but '70s, '80s, obviously '90s, and it's. I mean, I'm still listening to songs that were made in the '80s, like
yeah.
Whereas in popular music today and current, you know, I have to have a song out every month or I'm not going to listen. Like I can't re-listen to a song.
You know, pop music, it is a little bit of, like, not one hit wonder, but, you know, it's out for a month, then it's gone.
Then it's gone, you know, yeah.
There's always been pop music, but I am a little bit sad to see the decline to rock music, because, I mean, like, the most popular rock band that's out now is, what is it, Green Day?
Green Day, probably, yeah.
And I enjoy Green Day, but, you know, I just...
Yeah, the new rock is starting to be a little bit less entertaining. It's starting to actually kind of turn into more, I don't know, electronic, as in, like, synth stuff. And I'm not saying, like, synth isn't good, but... They're using a lot more programs instead of actual instruments. Like, the new pianos, well, you know, in this song we could use a piano, but maybe we should just do it on a program, and then we can not have to have an extra person or whatever, and yeah.
And although there are some really good indie bands out now, like one of my favorite, that's what it's called, Pomplamoose, I think. It's like a play on words from this... from, like, how you say, like, pomegranate, I think, in French, but their music is like a fantastic mix of just, like, relaxing and interesting.
Right.
Like, it's not overdone, but it just works really well, and I just like it.
And yeah, I mean, when it comes down to it, like, at the moment, my favorite music is probably more electronic based, like dubstep, like, you know, techno, those kind of things. That's probably like what I'm into right now. But I always have time for classic rock, and I listen to it I'd say daily. Even though I listen to dubstep and all that stuff quite often, obviously, again, daily. I mean, I do work in a classic rock song there. I mean, every here and there, just because it's still good. You know, it's kind of it just doesn't get old. That's what it is. It just doesn't get old.
There is quite a bit of like electronic music. I can listen to it for a week, but I can't listen to it forever. Like when Skrillex, when I started getting into everything, I think a lot of people started to look at Skrillex as one of the first people they listen to. Like I can listen to his music, but I don't enjoy it quite as much anymore. Like whereas I can listen to Led Zeppelin and I'll just be this is amazing.
Right.
And,
like I have to agree with the fact that Skrillex, his newer stuff is just not the same. Like he's been like what happens is I think you kind of get shaped by what people want to hear. And then there's no like I guess not originality, but there's no new stuff. There's no stuff that, whoa, where did this come from? It's totally off, like the out of the box per se. I think that Skrillex has now become more in the box, and I mean he again like I just said he's kind of making stuff that people want to hear, which I guess is it works, but it's also good to kind of make something that is new and you want to try it and see if it works. And that's kind of what happened with the beginning of Skrillex. I mean, he started making kind of new, quote, revolutionary music. And that's how he got popular.
Maybe not revolutionary, but he did do what he did pretty very well. And he was able to get it popular and get it heard. And that is what it is. And going back to originality, that is one of the reasons why my favorite bands ever is the Beatles, because every album they would do something different. They just get bored of playing something. Like Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band album, that sounds completely different than like their White Album or anything else. They have so many styles, and that is something. When I release music, I want to do different things. I want to do a variety of things instead of just having, you know, like one, I do this and that's all I do, which is a rut that many people have fallen into. I know, like, even Green Day and people like now, they're like, Green Day sounds like they're getting stuck on American Idiot, and that's really, it's American Idiot, Green Day. That's kind of how it works now.
Yeah.
But
anyways, let's kind of go back to the whole in real life scenario.
Let's get back to what...
So off music, what else do we do? Let's see. I do some paintballing. Obviously, during the winter, it hasn't been. What winter was that? During the fall and spring, with some slight cold weather, slightly cold weather in between.
This winter basically was just. It got colder for a little bit, and then
we're on the East Coast, and we got like, we didn't get any snow, and it was pitiful.
We had to go through school the whole time. And
I know, not even a day, not even one day.
Don't you just feel the entirety of our first world problems? I know you do.
Anyway, so between that whole period, I obviously didn't do a whole lot of paintballing, and Matt has never paintballed.
I have not, but I am going to go with you.
Yes, on Monday.
Yes, and this is going to be?
It's going to be awesome. We're going to have some fun. Paintballing, by the way, is probably one of the better, fake shooting sports, compared to airsoft and things like that. I just think that airsoft isn't as good because the guns look maybe more realistic, but how do you know if somebody got out? Like, it's based on that trust system, which is doable, but I mean, I don't know. It's harder to set up tournaments that can be validated. Like,
With paintball, first of all, it hurts a lot more, which is definitely an upside.
Well, I mean, it doesn't, I guess you could say it hurts more. I mean, to be honest, both of them don't hurt at all. In my opinion, I don't know. Matt hasn't been paintballing.
You're a man about it, but.
But no, it's just honestly, if you go into maybe if you're cranking it up on, you know, by yourself at your friend's house or something, that's obviously a different case scenario. But if you're at like a legitimate, like a sports arena or something like that for paintball, they have regulations. You know, there's regulations where you can only have the speed of a paintball. You know, it can only go so fast, or else you can't use it. And that's why, you know, they either turn it down or turn it up, varying on, you know, stuff like that. And yeah, so it honestly doesn't really hurt that much. And but also the thing about paintball that's more like better, I don't know, it's just better. That's just better than airsoft is that I mean you get hit with a paintball and you're covered in paint. I mean, you're out. It's obvious. But you know, in airsoft, I got hit. What? I don't see anything.
I totally didn't get hit, man.
Yeah, I mean, come on. It's like, and plus the pellets, I mean, even if you did get hit, you wouldn't know it. Like, what? I don't even know if I got hit by, like, this quarter inch, not even quarter inch, like, millimeter-sized pellet thing. Anyway, so, yeah, so we're going to be going paintballing on Monday. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have a fun time. It's going to be extremely, oh, by the way, we're on spring break, so, I mean.
Yeah, we, you know, getting crazy spring break over here.
Yeah, I mean, it's time to take out the party poppers and just, you know, chillax.
Yeah.
Chillax for a while and just, yeah, enjoy it while we can. And then we're going to be like the last day. It's like, come on, spring break went by in like 2 seconds. What happened here? But anyway,
that's
so.
That's what happens.
So, yeah, let's see. I guess that kind of wraps it up. You got anything to say before we?
I have nothing to say. I think I'm going to go play some Mad God here.
Gonna play some Realm of the Mad God.
Yes,
it is extremely entertaining. That's kind of what I have been into recently. Apart from Minecraft and all that stuff.
Steam, and you're never on Steam, so that was
magic. Yeah. I haven't been playing a whole lot of Steam games lately. I mean, I played some TF2 with you, and
yeah, but that
just doesn't catch on with me. I mean, it's just not my thing.
I'm a big fan of TF2 here.
Yeah, you play TF2 easily daily.
Definitely daily. Not even easily, definitely.
Right.
I'm gonna try and be an MLG pro here.
Yeah, but what I've been doing recently is playing this Tekkit. It's called Tekkit. It's a mod pack for Minecraft, but it's multiplayer, and it's just an easy, you know, it's a client. You don't have to worry about moving files around. And I have been having a lot of fun with it. It adds, like, thousands of items to Minecraft. It's crazy. But it also makes it, like,
That was one thing I always found a little, little annoying about Minecraft. There's not a lot of stuff in it, you know. And it's a fantastic game on its own, but yeah, you know, they're just going to be a little bit more stuff to it.
And I'm hoping they add some sort of, like, I wish you didn't have to, you know, use, like, melee all the time or a bow. I wish they could add, like, magic or something. Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be.
To be able to cast spells. Wouldn't that be amazing?
I would definitely enjoy that.
That'd be cool. Like and it wouldn't even have to be, like, insanely, you know, like, oh my god, 10 billion strikes of lightning strike from the sky. No, it could just be, you know, simple catch something on fire. I mean, from a far range or something. You know, it doesn't have to be that.
Well, I know they are kind of adding that with the you know, the splash potions and everything.
Yeah, and that's what I also like. And I like, I wish they could add more multiplayer, because I think a lot of the stuff prior to
the release. I am excited about how the multiplayer is getting revamped with the whole bucket team.
Well, yeah, no, but again, I think that, like, prior to the release and all that, a lot of the items were basically kind of single-player oriented. Like, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of, well, what if you want to play with a friend and like, a bunch of other people, and then you have, like, well, there's no, like, locked chests and stuff, or there's no, and I mean, those are very, very, like, simple, not simple, but very obscure things, but it's just that's what it takes to kind of make it more. And I think Minecraft is now almost like 80-90% multiplayer, because I almost never play single player Minecraft.
I'm a frequenter to the Minecraft Reddit, if you ever heard of that.
Right.
But, like, a lot of people agree it's just single player is just, like, it's not as interesting. I mean, there is a thing about playing with your friends, and even if maybe you're not in a giant server and maybe you're not with like 100 other people, but just being able to hang out with your friends and maybe you build something and you show it to them and you do whatever, that just has such an appeal to it.
Right. And yeah, so anyway, thank you all for listening to this week's
podcast
episode of the Right Outside Podcast, and we'll be around next week. These will be Friday releases, so they'll come out every Friday. And that's about it. So thank you all for watching and have a wonderful weekend.